And welcome to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center, your hometown hospital for the New York Giants. I'm Paul Dottino, along with Jeff Fiegels. Glad you could join us for today's program. And, you know, the Giants, Jeff, are coming off back-to-back losses, and they don't want to make it three in a row against Green Bay on Sunday night.
No question. Tough place to play, coming off a road loss. But listen, this Giant team's got to correct some of these mistakes. They got to stop the turnovers. They got to stop the penalties. Get back into playing Giant football and go down the road to play against the Packers, who they really have a good record against on the road.
Especially at Lambeau Field. Let's get a look at the injury report as the Giants continue preparations during the week. And, you know, some of the things that stick out right away, that secondary is still very thin right now.
Well, you can see what the Vikings did last week against the Giants. They picked on that depth. And when you see a guy like Trevin Wade struggle in the game, it just tells you, really shows you about how important it is to get the DRC back into the lineup. He was dressed out for the game last week. However, he did not play. But, and then getting Eli Apple, hopefully he can get those two back on the field. They are your starters. They're starters for a reason.
Yeah, they're another day closer, but we really don't know their status as of this afternoon. Hey, Coach Ben McAdoo is getting ready to go to the podium. Let's check in with him now.
All right, another big primetime road test for us this week. Great opponent in Green Bay. We look forward to the challenge. Their offense is led by future Hall of Famer Aaron Rodgers, a cerebral player who can make all the throws. He's a master of the hard count. We have to be smart there, and is great when escaping the pocket. We have to keep him contained. Their O-line is well-coached and physically tough. They play well together. They have a strong 1-2 punch at the running back position with big backs and Lacy and Starks. And their receivers are back at full strength with Jordy in the mix. Defensively, they're multiple and well-coordinated by Dom Capers. They excel against the run and are having a lot of success this year. It all starts up front for them. Mike Daniels, Clay Matthews, and Nick Perry are all playing at elite levels. They have a young trio of ball hawks playing inside linebacker and do a nice job there. And their secondary is full of young athletes and led by veteran Morgan Burnett. Special teams, they're deep and combative, with a lot of linebackers and defensive backs on the unit. Hyde and Davis are a nice duo of punt returners. With that, we'll open it up.
When you look at Rodgers on film, how much has he changed from the last time you remember working with him?
You know, Aaron is he's a little older, a little wiser. Fundamentally, he's always been one of the best in the league. It's always fun to see guys you used to work with, guys you used to coach, and how they develop.
Coach, on a related note, you made some really good memories over in Green Bay. Is there any sense of nostalgia nostalgia coming back to the Packers?
No, it'll be a great challenge for us on Sunday night. We look forward to it.
Is there anything you can pull out of your relationship with Aaron that might be helpful this week?
You know, Aaron does a good job each and every season, as well as Mike and the rest of the staff, of looking and self-scout and evaluating your own team and things you can improve and tendencies, and really the game within the game. They do a nice job of looking at each and every year. So a lot of things have changed. You see on, whether it's a TV copy or whether it's game tape, and they do a nice job there changing things up each and every year.
How similar is what they do offensively to what you guys do, for your defense at least, go out there and play?
Well, I think some of the foundations, the fundamentals, a lot of those are the same, but I think some of the core principles, schematically, the reads may be the same in the pass game. The fundamentals in the run game may be very similar, but, you know, things evolve and change as you move on.
When you study, you know, each week you study the opponent. When you study this week, do you just feel like, I know this more? I know this personnel. I know this team.
A little bit. You know, they're a young roster. They turn over a lot each and every season. They're always one of the youngest teams in the league, and they do a nice job that way. But when you look at when the ball snapped, you have a pretty good idea of when the play develops, of what you're looking at offensively. But they have some subtle differences, some changes, and obviously some personnel's change.
Presumably if Aaron has a weakness, you would be the guy that would know it. I mean, does he have any weakness?
No.
Is it beneficial to get it? You said they're a very young team. They turn over a lot. To get them early in the season, especially they've only played 3 games as opposed to later?
No, I don't know that there's any benefit. I mean, you know, we have them coming off a Monday night game. They're coming off of a bye week. So that'll be a challenge for us. But at the same point in time, we've done a nice job building our team up into a strong team, and we feel we'll still be fresh come Sunday night.
Coach, you're playing a team that's coming off an early bye. Is there any difference in the practice scheme when you play a team that's only had a week rest as compared to two?
A change for us or a change for...
A change for you.
Yeah, I mean, we played on Monday night. We had a long flight, got back late, tried to give them an opportunity to sleep in yesterday, sleep in today. We'll be smart with them tomorrow, and we are light on our feet today.
How's the, you know, your cornerbacks doing? You know, we'll look at them a little bit, Eli Apple and DRC.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't do much today as far as full speed work. You know, we got a little bit of a lift in, and we were smart with them on the grass today, but we'll know more tomorrow.
Ben Coughlin said that he wants to help Odell. How do you feel about him saying that?
No feeling one way or the other.
Has he reached out to you at all since?
My personal conversations stay personal.
You had any, did you have a meet, a sit down with Odell at all since the game? Or?
I talk with Odell frequently.
There was a report that the refs are going to be keeping an eye out for players that are trying to provoke Odell. Is that something that comforts you, or is it on his shoulders to not respond?
We need to control what we can control and let everyone worry about themselves, everyone else.
Does he have to change the way he approaches that, though? The way he sort of, I wouldn't say the way he plays, but the way he sort of acts even after a play, just because you know that they're watching his every move?
I think he has great passion for the game and a great desire to be one heck of a player. And, you know, one thing I'd hate to see him lose is that drive and that passion.
You used that phrase, you like them salty. I think that was your phrase. Is that, does that go against, or can that work against you in certain situations? Do you like that in your play?
No, I like him. I like him as a salty, competitive player. That's when he plays at his best. We just need to be productive when we're doing it.
How do you walk the line now between, you know, staying within the rules and not losing that drive and that passion?
No,
in my mind, he's walking up.
Absolutely, you have to stay within the rules. But I want him to play with a salty, physical, attacking mindset.
Do you feel the teams are trying to bait him intentionally? They're sending out guys, telling him to try and get in his head.
Like it's hockey?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Because that's a lot of people, yeah.
I'm sure that teams aren't real thrilled about the idea of him having the ball in his hands. He can do something with it. So they're going to do whatever they can do to keep him from having the ball in his hands. And if they feel that's a good strategy, then you may see it.
Have you seen guys?
Have you seen that so far?
I have not, no.
Have you ever seen guys do something along those lines?
There are a lot of things that happen. There are a lot of things happen in the white line and in piles, the game within the game, that We'll leave it out there.
I mean, when you put together your scouting report for the next game, if you saw this, you know, a recurring pattern from a receiver on the team you're playing, what would be your strategy to go against him?
We'll leave that for the game plan meetings.
But it certainly would come into play as far as strategy.
Everything factors.
And you've talked to us about, and even going back to when you took this job and you got that coaching job, the idea of taking emotion out of things. You're not an emotional guy. It's business-like, detailed. Are there any emotions involved with going up against somebody like Mike McCarthy and trying to match
wits? How can I ask this team to be disciplined and poised and be committed to it and not have it myself?
So as far as going up against someone who you consider a coaching influence won't make you, I don't want to say work
harder. I have a job to do. Be consistent with the way I do my job.
Ben, do you think the turnovers are the number one thing that has to change? I mean, for this team to start getting back to where it was?
No, I think we need to play better team football overall. We need to feed off of each other in all three phases instead of, you know, always covering for each other. You know, an example the other night was, you know, we get a nice return and to start the game. We move the ball a little bit, then we punt. We get a nice stop on defense, and then the ball's on the ground, and it changes things early in the game. We got to bounce back sooner, but we need to be able to field the punt, get a return, and then punch the ball in right there and take a lead on the road. That's a big part of it. We're not playing good enough team football right now, and it goes to the field position, which is tied to the return game, which is tied to the turnovers and the penalties.
Well, what would you say, how would you characterize an offense like yours that is high in the league in yards but quite low in points?
I think we're ready to break out.
points, I would suppose.
In every way, shape, and form, yes, we're ready to break out. We're due.
Where do you stand at safety going into this week? With, you know, the guys are down, the guys are out here.
We'll find out more each and every day we go through it. So tomorrow we'll find out more, and that's still in the concussion protocol, and we have some other guys who can fill in.
Is there something you see that makes you think you're ready to break out, or is it just that you think that you do?
I have a lot of confidence in the group.
From an offensive perspective, what makes a defense effective on third down?
What makes a defense I would say disrupting the quarterback, disrupting the timing and precision of the routes, and changing up coverages.
Is there any frustration on your part on Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, his ability to stay healthy and be available?
Not at all. I've not seen any of that. No. You know, he was. It was great to have him available if we needed him last week. He fought through a lot.
If Donnell can't go, you have Ty and Jarrell at the tight end spot. What's your level of confidence with the rookie in particular?
We like to play young players, give them an opportunity to produce early in the season and develop as the season goes on, and we get a chance to play in the postseason, have them be a big part of it.
Obviously, they do that in Green Bay. Is that part of the reason why you haven't brought in a veteran safety or a veteran tight end? You want to give those guys the opportunity?
Yeah, we're not afraid to play young players here.
It's not concerning to you that just have numbers-wise, just two tight ends, no fullback. It's just those two guys going into a game if it has to be just two guys at those two spots.
Yeah, we have some guys who can contribute other ways.
Ben, how will your schedule change now, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Are you back to a normal schedule, at least a normal week?
The schedule will be very similar. The loads will be different.
One more.
So Rashad, any closer to getting back on the field?
A couple days closer, yes.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
And so preparations continue for the Green Bay Packers. You know, last weekend, the Giants defense kept them in the game against the Minnesota Vikings. Can the defense do enough to help them beat Green Bay? We'll talk about it when we come back after this on MSG. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center here on MSG. 15 seconds can save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Go to geico.com, and it's time for our Geico News Headline Second Check. And, you know, Odell Beckham's emotions have really dominated the headlines. Jeff, what kind of impact can that have on the game this weekend?
Well, I think the impact is going to be more about Odell and himself. You know, really, people talk about, is it affecting his teammates? It's affected him. And really, what he's got to do is be a little bit more mature, get out there, and the Giants need him to win. I know it's a competitor. He's got to go out on that field, needs to get in the end zone, correct some of the mistakes. You know that he's the guy that the Giants want to go to. They got to get the ball to him.
Giants needs to correct that turnover ratio if they're going to win as well. The defense this year has yet to take the ball away.
Well, that's a problem, and you know, and it continues. But what can be done here is the effects of it is getting more pressure on the quarterback. And listen, you know, those pressures, a lot of times you don't get the interceptions, but those pressures can lead into turnovers with a strip sack and a fumble. The Giants' defense has got to be able to put pressure on the quarterback. It also takes away the pressure for that secondary, that young secondary, and the inexperienced secondary that we've seen the last couple weeks.
Yeah, to this point, the Giants are tied for the fewest in the NFL with 4 sacks. But here's a number for you, 23 quarterback hurries, which is tied for the 9th most. So that's almost a dichotomy in terms of the numbers.
Well, I think that, you know, getting pressure, like we said, and getting sacks, a lot of times it doesn't – they kind of correlate to the same way. But, you know, for Vernon and JPP, these two guys are, you know, really coming to the place where they've got to get back, they've got to get into the sacks and strip the ball and enable the quarterback to make mistakes.
More impact plays needed from those
ends. No question.
And the Packers' offense, now here's a number for you, Jeff. 3 and outs this year. They are 7th in the NFL with 25% 3 and outs. They've had trouble getting going.
Well, no question. And that's kind of a recipe for success, in my opinion, for this defense, for the Giants, to be able to not let him get any rhythm, get in his face early, force him to make some turnovers and get that turnover for the first one of the year, Paul, when you think about it. But the most important thing for Aaron Rodgers is not to get him in a comfort zone. This guy is a streaky player. He will make some mistakes, but he will play very well if you give him time to throw the football to Randall Cobb and one Jordy Nelson.
Now, through three games, remember, they had a bye week last week. He has been sacked eight times, but five of those came against the Vikings. You saw a couple of clips there.
Well, listen, you know, the offensive line for the Green Bay Packers is going to try to do everything they can to protect Aaron Rodgers. The thing you have to do here is you have to understand these guys like to go and make big plays down the field. Don't give Aaron Rodgers a chance to do that.
And, of course, Nelson and Cobb, his two long-term receivers, they've been there for a while. They have a chemistry going. But it's interesting. Each guy has averaged less than 13 yards per catch, which means he's throwing short stuff.
Well, I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers likes to go long, but if the long pass isn't there, Paul, the short underneath stuff is. You want to get the ball into Cobb and Nelson's hands like they're doing. But like I said earlier, you cannot give the Green Bay Packers the deep ball to Jordy Nelson. He's scored three touchdowns in the last three games. Again, he's another one of those players that if he gets hot, he's streaky too. And most important, the coverage on him, you got to have somebody over the top or he will definitely go down the field. Randall Cobb is one of those guys. He's an excellent third down receiver. He will definitely catch some balls out of the backfield, like you see the little shovel pass there. You got to have a guy, a linebacker on him. Make sure you got a speedy linebacker to be able to cover.
Ironically, Cobb has yet to get into the end zone so far this year. Now, running-wise, Eddie Lacy, he is averaging a career-high 5 yards per carry. He can be a load.
He is a load, but you know what? He's a lesser load than he was last year. He's lost a little weight, and that was, you know, Coach McCarthy said to him, listen, you want to be on this team, you're going to have to do it. But he is a downhill runner, a tough guy. We hear all the time, Paul, about these running backs wanting to get into a rhythm. He is one of these rhythm backs, and once he gets downhill, you got to hit him low.
Now, one of the things we've noticed, the Giants' defense at times in the fourth quarter of their last two games been a little bit worn down. I think that's a big key. If the Packers take a lead going into the fourth, you know Lacy's getting the ball.
Well, they like to run that four-minute offense just like any offense would when you're winning. The Giants got to keep them from winning, be able to stop them from going into that four-minute offense. But Eddie Lacy is a guy that they can rely on to get those hard yards for that first down at the end of the game.
More on the Giants and Packers when we come back after these words on MSG. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live here on MSG. It's presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. Now, Jeff, the Giants are coming off a road loss to the Vikings in prime time. It's been a short week. Packers coming off a bye. How much of a disadvantage is it for Big Blue?
Well, I think it's a huge disadvantage. You think about the Giants having to go, you know, off of a Monday night, a short week, and the Packers got a bye week, 2 weeks to prepare. But, you know, the schedule changes a little bit during the week. And, you know, really, guys, the players are creatures of habit. And they love that 1 o'clock start every week because they have the same schedule every week. This time a little bit different. Like I said, the Giants are out there practicing in you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock. That's different than it normally is.
Yeah, it sure is. Hey, the Giants offense really needs to get on track. Now, I want to mention something here besides the turnovers and penalties, which have really hurt them. Giants only averaging 27 minutes per game time of possession, 29th in the league. And that, of course, affects not only their offensive continuity, but their defense as well.
Well, no question. The big problem on third downs is third downs on the Giants. That's their offense, some of their offensive struggles. Last week, they were 2 for 12. Third downs, you know, not staying on the field. And really, when you turn the ball over like they're doing, a lot of times this is, you know, what's happening here. The Giants are going off the field, Paul. But, yes, it is affecting the defense because these guys are on the field longer.
People want to see some more big plays out of this offense. Giants are getting some big plays, but not by throwing the ball in the air very long. They are ninth in the NFL, averaging 6 yards per catch after contact. But, again, it's shorter passes.
Shorter passes, and listen, you know, what's happening here is that the defenses of the opposing team are trying to figure out a little bit how to combat these guys, these routes. So a lot of the short passes are going to have to work against the Packers this week. You saw the Vikings shut down the passing game for the Giants last week, but, you know, that doesn't tell you that anything, that you can come back against the Packers this week, change your game plan a little bit, and get that guy right there, number 1-3, back into the offense.
One of the things that you can do to help your offense is to do better on first down. Jeff, the Giants are only averaging a bit over 5 yards per play on first down, and that's 20th in the NFL.
Well, listen, I think a lot of times that first down you get penalties will cost you yardage. First down you get an offside, you get an illegal procedure, a holding penalty, which puts you in first and long and second and long. that's it. You got to be able to correct those mistakes.
Now, if the Giants are going to run the ball, I want to give you a few numbers here, and they're pretty nasty. Packers defense, minus 19 times this year have they tackled someone for negative yardage on first down. That leads the NFL. They're also only giving up 43 yards a game on the ground. That leads the NFL. And only 1.8 yards per carry. The Giants are second in the league at 3.2 yards allowed per carry.
Well, listen, they have a really nice defensive tackle in Mike Daniels, who's a big, big dude. You know, and so I figure that he wants to get in there and make some stops. They also, their linebackers, they play a 3-4. Their linebackers are very active. They like to keep them in some of their nickel, big nickel, we call it, so that they can get out there, but they make some plays. So running the football is going to be very difficult against this Packers defensive line.
Now, the Packers pass defense, not so much as good. They're in the bottom three in the NFL, giving up over 300 yards a game and 8 yards per play.
Well, they have you heard Coach McAdoo mention a very young secondary, very athletic. They're led by Demaryius Randall, in my opinion, is their best corner. But I will tell you that this is a young secondary that makes mistakes, mental mistakes. So an advantage here to the Giants passing game and that trio of receivers going into the Packers this year.
Now, in the first three games Green Bay has played, they've compiled 10 sacks. Left outside linebacker Nick Perry has 3.5, including at least one in each game.
Well, you know... These guys, like I said earlier, they're very active, Paul. So they get a lot of different schemes in there. You get some zone blitzes going on. But listen, you got Clay Matthews coming back after injury. He's getting better and better. The Giants, they're going to be most likely down a tight end this week with Larry Donnell. We're going to have to be able to get that offensive line some help if they're going to blitz.
And don't forget Julius Peppers. He's in there in obvious pass rushing downs, 137.5 career sacks in his 15th season. And with Green Bay, 29 sacks in 35 games. The guy's getting older, but no less productive. It's the Giants and the Green Bay Packers Sunday night at Lambeau Field. It's going to be a good one on national television. And don't forget, next week, you can always join us right here on MSG for Giants Press Conference Live. We'll see you then, everybody.